listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play fake board game by Noble Jester Productions.
The Mighty One will rise. He will use the Beacon of Light to restore Rin's blessing, unite the three heirs, cast down the usurper, and restore order to Rin's world.
So, Verboden, you spent the night in the palace in the Beacon of Hope capital, and then in the morning you assembled those dragonkin that you had picked, and you travel with Sieve and Hestian and a group of, you know, kind of other people who go with you to a certain length to this mountain that Heartfang's grave is at. But then from there they stop and, you know, just kind of camp at the base of the mountain, and you proceed up this mountain with, you picked Amp and Moont and Krim, and you also have Sieve and Hestian with you.
Okay.
And Hestian has mostly stayed silent. He's just kind of a grumpy person in general, but he mostly just has been trying to avoid any direct interaction with you. But you have made your way up this mountain, and as you're kind of getting closer to the top, you start to have this weird sense of deja vu, and you start to realize it's because the top of this mountain has been worked and shaped, and things have been grown in certain places to resemble a place you've been before. The top of the mountain that floats over Wardvin, it now floats over Wardvin, where you were at one point, and Yendra gained her power there. You fought against the dragons there. You gave your blood and your essence to allow Yendra to gain divinity, and, you know, that spot where Rin's divinity really was encapsulated and passed on to Yendra. This mountaintop has been made to look like that. And as you get to the peak of this mountain, you can see that almost an altar has been set up, and it looks like a grave, but also just an altar to Heartfang right in the center of this, where that ancient, you know, circle that almost seemed like a well that led directly down to Rin's power was in the original. In this one, there's an altar to Heartfang. And Sieve has kind of been leading the group up this mountain, and he leads you over to this altar, and he's been kind of, you know, he hasn't really been keeping an eye out. He's just been kind of focused on leading you. But I assume you've probably been keeping an eye out for this monster.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And did I ever have a conversation with, like, any survivors about it?
No, they never sent anybody.
Oh, yeah, that checks out. Okay.
As Sieve leads you to this altar, he looks around and he says,
"Well, I don't see any monsters. Does anyone have any suggestions on how we should proceed from here?"
Verboden looks over at Hestian and kind of like puts his hands up, you know, palms up, like, "What you got, you know?"
Hestian just kind of looks annoyed to be here, but he says, "Well, perhaps we must carry out the worship of Heartfang." And Sieve kind of shakes his head a little bit and says,
"All right, perhaps we must."
And he kind of pulls you aside and lowers his voice and says,
"Traditionally, the worship of Heartfang here involves the willing sacrifice of a dragonkin."
Yeah, he leans kind of back in even closer to Sieve. "Quite aware of the tradition, and there'll be none of that today."
He looks at you and he says,
"I understand that you care for these dragonkin, but I think that it's possible
they would even, at least one or two of them may worship Heartfang and would even be willing for such a thing to happen. Are you really willing to go so far and then stop here before the completion of your test?
That has nothing to do with my test. I'll sit here and wait for this monster to show up, but there will be no such steps taken in Heartfang's name.
Why?
Why? All this freedom and equity talk. Is it equitable for one of them to sacrifice himself? I don't see anybody else doing that. Why don't you get up there and talk about equity?
He raises his hands, kind of palms out to you, and says,
I'm merely asking the question. Do you believe yourself worthy of telling them that their religion is wrong?
I'm not here to talk about anybody's religion. It's all what's right and wrong, and the cost of their life is not up for a debate.
He absorbs that. Were you getting louder as that was happening?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Hestian steps over and he looks at Siv and he says,
do you see? He hasn't changed at all. He hasn't learned anything. Do we really have to continue this farce?
Siv kind of looks angry at him for a moment and then turns to you. He says,
Forboden, it really was excellent to meet you. I have long been curious about how your experiences may have changed you, shaped your opinions and viewpoints. And it seems as though they haven't changed at all.
In fact, they're even stronger.
I had wished that things could have been different. You know, before you arrived, the plan was that I myself would become the Mighty One. The prophecy was crafted for me. We've spent centuries placing these hooks and things into these people's minds and their stories. And then you just happened upon it. It really was quite amazing how you suddenly showed up right at the time when we were prepared to fulfill the prophecy and rally them all behind my banner. I thought, perhaps it really was fate. Perhaps you were here and you had changed your mind. We didn't have to fight against one another once again. Here, now, when Yindra's power wanes at its weakest.
He kind of sighs, and he says,
but I agree. It's time for this all to end.
And he transforms.
And so shall I.
Okay. He transforms into the largest dragon you've ever seen. Massive red dragon. Glistening scales, spikes all over. You recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
It's Heartfang.
Oh, man. No! Dang it. Oh, this is my worst fear. This was one of those times, you know how I joke about, like, okay, I'm going to throw out this crazy thing to you, because if I spoil it, then you'll, like, change because you don't want it to happen. It was literally like, dude, this guy is going to straight up be Heartfang. And I'm like, no, that's crazy. Dang it. Okay. Oh, man. I got him and Hestian here. Okay.
And Hestian also transforms.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Now, I don't know that you've ever actually physically fought Hestian. Mm-hmm. He has avoided that probably throughout all of your cycles.
Sure.
You have probably seen him as a dragon, though, before, including in your dream last cycle. Right. You saw him kind of sleeping over top of his cave.
Mm-hmm.
He's about 3/4 your size. He's not, you know, he's not a huge dragon. I mean, he's pretty big, but he's not to your scale.
Mm-hmm.
But Heartfang is probably half again as large as you.
Okay.
He's massive, and he's grown since you last saw him.
Man. Okay. Quick question. When we were walking, did Hestian have the chalice with him?
You never saw it.
Okay. So I don't know if he does or not.
Correct.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out if he would, like, intentionally flaunt that or not. Okay. Doesn't matter either way.
Yeah. So, he transforms, and rather than attacking you, he immediately leaps for Krim. Oh.
Can I try to intervene?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
She's standing probably close to the edge of... I guess I'm kind of assuming you remember what this peak looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are rocks and kind of cliffs scattered around. But this central platform is, you know, kind of some stone steps going up to this central round stone platform. And there are these kind of crumbling statues of dragons that... There are four of them kind of facing in, and this altar has been set up in the center of it. And Krim is probably standing just right at the edge of one of those stone platforms.
Okay.
And he just leaps for her. So, what are you going to roll here?
I'm going to roll fight, because I'm not messing around.
Okay, so you're just going to attack him?
Yes.
Okay. Let me go ahead and set some scene aspects before we do this. I guess I would say one scene aspect would be familiar ground. You know this place, you've fought here before. Probably overwhelming enemy force.
Yeah.
You know, it's 2-on-1 here, although you do have some potential allies.
Sure, but it's flipping Heart Fang. Oh. Okay.
Each one of the three of them have some each one of the two of them have some aspects.
Can I recommend one for Hestian? It's I'm a tool.
All right, so Heart Fang has Master of Flame, Terrifying Legend, and Commanding Presence as his aspects. Hestian has Master of the Chalice, Always Looking for an Out, and Selfish as his aspects.
Yep.
And I can add in. What was it?
I'm a tool.
Yes, all right.
Thank you. That helps. I have an additional aspect too since last time. So I had that conversation with Cloud Chaser and just kind of getting a little bit of hope there. So I have the aspect of if not me, then who?
All right. So okay. You were going to roll fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I roll a 1, and then with my fight skill plus my stunt of being a dragon, that's a 7 total.
Okay. He got a 4.
Okay.
So you successfully, slam into him. I'm assuming you're just kind of using claws at this point?
Yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just raking at his side.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take 3 points of physical stress. And he takes that and continues moving towards Krim, and he's going to swipe at her with his claws.
Okay.
And she got a 4. He slashes at her with his claws, and they just slam into her and pierce through her, and he is going to fling her at the altar. And her body smashes into it with a cracking sound, and her blood starts to kind of pool onto this altar, and he turns towards you and just laughs this deep kind of booming laugh that you've probably heard before. And then Hestian is going to... He transforms as well. And he jumps up on top of one of those dragon statues, just kind of perching on it. And this pulsing energy starts to build. And you immediately feel this energy and recognize it as the energy of the chalice.
Mm-hmm.
and it looks like he's building up some kind of a spell.
Okay.
But doesn't do anything with it this turn. And then I guess that would bring us to Moont and Amp. Both of them are going to scatter. I mean, not like they're running away, but they are moving back. Moont actually kind of starts to move back and then tries to kind of start to move around towards Krim, but trying to move around the dragons. Right. And Amp is going to scramble back and try to find some cover behind some rocks.
Okay.
That's going to be their turns. You're up.
Okay. Oh, dang. It sucks with, like, so obviously Hardfang is a very competent, dangerous enemy. Hestian is still a dragon. He's still a challenge. He's got the chalice. So I'm like, I feel like if I go for the chalice and I can somehow get it, that can help turn the tide. But I also could just be spinning my wheels trying to get this thing and just get torn up trying to do so. I still feel like it's my best bet. So I'm going to leave Hardfang alone for the time being and try to book it to Hestian.
Okay.
And attack him. While I'm going towards him, I'm trying to see where on him he might have the chalice.
When you've transformed in the past while carrying the chalice, you know, there's almost like a pocket of your scales that forms that it sits inside. With you, it's always been like, you know, right under your left wing, kind of right over where your heart would be. You're not sure if that would be true of him as well.
Okay. I mean, it would be probably my best guess with him. So as I'm coming to attack, like, I'm going to try to swipe at and claw him across that way if I'm able to hit him.
All right.
With my roll against Hardfang, I did succeed with style. Do I get any sort of benefit from that, or would it just be against Hardfang, probably?
I give you a boost from that, and I don't mind you using that boost against Hestian.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, almost like he would be a bit taken aback by how quickly and viciously you attacked Hardfang, and that might put him a little bit a little bit back on his heels.
He is always looking for an out, Jesse.
It's true.
Okay. So could I get a free invoke then against him of, like, kind of compel him against the always looking for an out, or could you like compel? Or how's that work? I'm stressing fighting two dragons.
I honestly don't know the answer to that, if you can compel. But, I mean, the boost is essentially a plus two that you can use here.
Okay. So roll a two, and with my fight and stunt and that is going to be a 10 total.
Oof. All right. You got a 5.
Okay.
So you definitely do a good amount of damage to him. You succeed with style. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to use that to answer your question, if that's okay.
Okay.
Your claws rip into his scales, and you feel one of them snag for a moment on something hard and metallic, and he, like, screams this, like, draconic roar scream and clutches at his chest and grabs the chalice to keep it from tumbling out of his chest. Yeah.
So okay.
He has it. It's
got
there.
It. Okay. Cool.
All right. Hardfang turns and moves towards Krim, toward the altar, and he kind of leaps onto her, and fire, you know, engulfs the altar, and her blood is burning, and there is this swirling dark energy that suddenly erupts around the altar and focuses on Hardfang. He definitely just gave himself some sort of a power up from killing someone on his own altar.
Yeah.
Hestian is going to look at you, and he is going to just explode this magical energy at you as trying to fling you away from him.
Okay.
That is an 11.
Oh, jeez. Since it's magical, are we going with, like, will is what I need to roll against that?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I can roll enough for that. So that'd be 5 total. I think I'm definitely going to invoke an aspect. Just feeling like kind of the last hope for these things. So I want to use my new aspect. If not me, then who in this fight?
I would also let you invoke Master of the Chalice. It's on the table. It's on him, but you also have a lot of experience with Chalice, if you feel like that's more appropriate.
I think so, actually, because that determination of, like, I've got to get this, this is bad, that's my focus, so let's go with that Master of the Chalice.
Okay. Yeah, so you can add a +2 or a reroll.
I mean, that was still a pretty decent roll, so I'm just going to add the 2. I think that's my better bet, so it's a 7 total.
All right. So you would take 4 shifts of physical stress here.
Okay. Then I will mark off my 3 and my 1. That was a big hit.
Yep. This is not looking good.
No.
Munt stops as, you know, he was trying to get to Krim. And Heartfang has just completely consumed her. So Moot stops, and seeing Heartfang kill Krim and then use her for this ritual, he looks kind of a combination of angry and just kind of devastated. And he starts to stand there, and he begins almost like dancing, not like a, you know, oh, I'm just randomly moving my body, but it looks like it's almost like a ritualized, you know, stomping and, you know, scraping on the floor and, you know, moving his body in particular ways. And you begin to feel this sort of energy starting to gather in him. So that's interesting.
Okay.
On the other side, kind of across the way, Amp has gotten behind some rocks, and he climbs up on top of the rocks, and he is going to fling this large blast of energy at Heartfang.
Okay.
Not a very good roll. That is a 6. Heartfang also got a 6.
Okay.
So this energy just kind of reflects off of Heartfang's scales, and that brings it back around to you, I believe.
Okay.
So you have been, you know, I mean, the chalice, the energy from the chalice, you know, kind of threw you away from Hestian.
Yeah.
But obviously you can go back at him if you need to.
Yeah. I'm just going to, like, yell out at Hestian as I'm running up towards him. This is where you at, Hestian, give it back. And then I'm going to rake in him again, trying to hit him right where the chalice is.
Okay, his hands, you know, large scaled hands are clutching his chest right there. So your claws are going to be kind of hitting his arms and the backs of his hands.
Well, instead of that, like, maybe I'll actually, like, fly at him, you know, my claws outstretched, and try to grab his hands to, like, take him down, with trying to potentially creating advantage of the next turn if I'm still there, hopefully, where I could make a clean attack against that.
Okay.
Do you want me to use fight or physique for that?
I'd say it depends on whether you're that was all flavor and you're trying to attack him, or whether you're actually trying to create an advantage and, you know, create a aspect of holding him down.
Yeah, let's try to create the aspect then of holding him down, so
okay.
I'm trying to do that.
Then, yeah, I'd say probably physique.
Okay, so that would be a 3 total.
Okay, he got a 4.
Okay, could I spend a fate point and invoke Master of the Chalice again? Or maybe this time I could use the if not me, then who. Just like every bit of resolve, like this is a kind of a make it or break it moment. Like if things fail right now, I feel like I'm done.
Yeah, I would go with that one more than Master the Chalice here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm down to 2 fate points, and so that would bring me up to 5.
Okay. Yeah, so you successfully knock him back, and, you know, you crash through this dragon statue, grab him, land on top of him. And what aspect are you creating here?
Let's do exposed chalice.
Okay, yeah, so you grab his arms, and you're kind of on top of him. You've pulled back his arms. He's struggling, and you can see the chalice right there.
Okay.
And you have 1 free invoke of that.
Okay.
All right. Heartfang is going to turn to you, and he lets loose a massive gout of flame at you.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like he really cares if it hits Hestian.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably up to you. You could defend that with will, or you could defend it with physique. It's up to you.
I'll go with physique. That's a 6 for me.
Okay. He got a 4.
Okay.
But he's going to go ahead and use a fate point and invoke his aspect, Master of Flame, to reroll that.
Okay. I'm going to wait to see what he rerolls.
Alright. You got a 9.
Man. Okay, so I'm just going to... I'm going to invoke... How about I said I'm the Mighty One?
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Trying to be mighty.
Using your last fate point here.
I should still have 1 after that.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to free that one, so this will be my last one. So that'll just bring it down to 1 shift.
Okay. All right, so this flame slams into you, and you take 1 shift of physical stress.
Wait, hang on. So I've got a free invoke of exposed chalice.
Yep.
What if I, like, am able, because if I invoke that, then I would succeed. What if I shift that exposed chalice and, like, kind of put Hestian in front?
I'll allow it with the just the general knowledge that this chalice will absorb that.
Oh.
Which could be a good thing if you get the chalice, could be a really bad thing if Hestian uses it.
Right. So
it absorbs magical energies.
Right. Which I think at this point, since I only have a single physical stress box left, let's go ahead and do that. Let's have it absorb it.
Okay.
Chalice shall absorb.
All right. Yeah. So you use that invoke of exposed chalice, and you kind of bring Hestian up and around, rolling with him on top of you, and this gout of flame hits Hestian and kind of curves around him and absorbs directly into the chalice. For a moment, the gems and things on the chalice burn like bright red, and then they return to their normal kind of blues and greens. Hestian is going to redirect that energy and is going to attempt to use it to again just kind of blow you away from him.
Okay.
That is an 8.
Oh no, it's a 3.
Okay. So he flings you off of him. You would take 5 shifts of physical stress.
Okay, shoot. I feel like I should probably spend my last fate point to try to reduce this a little bit, so I could maybe invoke, if not me, then who, just that desperation.
Okay.
I'm gonna try to reroll.
Okay.
This is real dangerous, because dice are usually not my friend. Come on, just 1 time, dice, 1 time. Come on, fates. Same result, That would be so five total.
Okay.
So three shifts. Yeah. So I would mark off my last stress box of two, and then I need a minor consequence.
Okay. I think minor consequence here probably would be, I don't know, overwhelmed. Things don't look good for you.
Yeah.
You're injured. You've been, you know, one of your allies is already dead. You brought her here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got literally the worst person you could ever possibly imagine in Heartfang here.
Yeah.
As well as Hestia. You're getting pretty close to death's door here.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. This is bad. Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I'd say minor consequence. I don't know a better word than overwhelmed.
Okay.
I'm sure there is a better word, but
we'll take it. That's how I'm feeling. This is
yeah.
Brett and Verboten are both overwhelmed in the moment. Okay.
That was both Heartfang and Hestian. Munt is going to finish kind of what he's been doing, and he begins almost like this battle song, and a wave of energy pours out from him, and it looks like it's trying to wrap itself around Heartfang.
Okay.
That was not a good roll, though.
Ugh.
All right. He got a 4, and Heartfang got a 5. Do you have any fate points left?
No, I used my last one.
All right. So that this energy kind of hits Heartfang and starts to kind of wrap around him, and his wings go out, and this energy starts to dissipate. As he does that, Amp is going to, seeing what's going on, he raises a hand up to the sky, and then is going to kind of leap forward towards Heartfang with another hand out towards him. And he's going to try to magically collect that energy and wrap it around Heartfang.
Okay. Dude, Amp. Come on, Dice, just once. Just give it to me once.
Okay. All right, that works. So he rolled an 11.
Yes.
And Heartfang got a 2.
Okay.
So,
yes, Amp.
So you see, like, this incredible wave of energy that seems to somehow originate kind of somewhere in the sky pour down through, you know, Amp's outstretched arm, down through him and out his other hand, and it slams into Heartfang, collecting this energy around him, and then throws him, I mean, hundreds of feet.
Oh, yes.
Away.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, seeing that, things change pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
And you're up.
Okay. So, yeah, man, that's a good flip, because that was looking real, real bad. And knowing Hestian, like, you know, the aspects he has, he's looking for an out. He's a coward and selfish, too, so that's going to shift stuff a bit. So, the exposed chalice, that's not a thing anymore.
Correct.
I'm just going to attack him. I'm just going to just straight up trying to go claws at the throat.
Okay.
That's a 6 total.
He got a 7.
Oh, kill me. Okay. Nothing I can do. I've got no fate points.
Okay. So you go at his throat, clawing at him, and he kind of turns and he flings out his wings, and the force of it just kind of brushes you just enough that he is actually able to leap into the air. And he just starts running.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to take his turn to just run as far and as fast as he can. Heartfang is, you know, he's been blown back into the air. And you see off in the distance this kind of dark swirling energy that he had acquired. It explodes off of him and it breaks these magical bonds that Amp and Moont had managed to surround him with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hovering there and he's going to shout across the way at you. And he says,
"Verboden! This is not the end!"
And as he does that, the sky splits open. Kind of where Amp's raised hand had been, the sky kind of splits open in a column of burning light blasts into the top of this mountain.
Oh no.
And the entire altar is just obliterated as a woman stands in the center. Yinder stands there. And Heartfang turns and follows Hestian. She stands and looks after them. And then she turns and looks at you, kind of takes in you as a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
She points a finger back after them. She looks fierce, angry. You probably haven't seen her like this since centuries ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she says,
"Now do you see, Verboden? Do you see that they are evil? They have to be destroyed. There is no negotiating. There is no working with them. I don't know why you're here or what you think you're doing, but they must be destroyed."
I'm trying to gather my breath. I'm trying to make it right. I'm sick of all of you lumping everybody together, calling them, and like they all need to go. Yes, Heartfang needs to die, and so does Hestia, but not all of them.
She shakes her head.
"How could you possibly think any of these dragons can be saved? You've experienced centuries of torment at their hands. You have seen the continual ravages they have caused to this land, to its people. My power to hold them back shrinks day after day, and I only think it's because he's still out there."
"He's here. He is not out in Rillian. How do you explain the rest of it?"
"I don't know. I have been fighting. I have been struggling, striving to protect this land, and it just keeps going away. I don't know what to do."
"Pains me to say it, but as I have loved you, but maybe you're not enough."
As you say that, she recoils almost like you slapped her. Her face kind of grows serious.
"Perhaps. Perhaps I am not. But you have to be. Finish this. Kill Heartfang, or this world will not survive. This is your mess."
And she turns and wings sprout off of her back and she flies up into the sky to the north.
Hey, thanks for listening once again with us on Tales of Forsaken. And whoo, man, I'm shaken after that episode. I don't even know where to go from here, but I trust that it'll be okay. I don't know. We'll see. But I appreciate you following us in this story. I'm still shaken up after that one, but hopefully you're enjoying the story as much as I am. I love playing this game and hope you are enjoying it and will join us on Discord and talk about it and share us with your friends. Thanks.